Hello and welcome to the MJA podcast. My name's Kate Swanell and I am the news and online editor for the MJA. Today my guest and I are going to be talking about flu vaccines, specifically the two enhanced influenza vaccines that have been developed for Australians aged 65 and over. Professor Christine McCartney is the director of the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance, and I'm delighted to welcome her to the pod. How bad exactly was the 2017 flu season?
Well, Kate, it was a bad season. In fact, it was a record season with respect to the number of notified flu cases across Australia. And while we know some of that was because of increased testing for flu, we certainly also know there was a huge demand on healthcare services and record numbers of people notified with flu, particularly hitting the older Australians, by that I mean people over 65, very hard. So they represented about 22% of all notified cases last year. So that's a lot of cases. And really, that's just the tip of the iceberg. What we measure is not what's really out there in the community. These are people who've turned up, been suspected of having flu, had a test and been confirmed, whereas we know that modelling estimates probably there's 5 to 10 times more flu than that actually out there in the community. So at any given time, we might see sort of up to 10% of the population being affected by flu each year.
Why was it particularly bad? Was it a really weird strain that we didn't anticipate, or did the vaccines not cover it? What was going on?
Well, there were a couple of reasons, and I know today we're talking about the elderly or older Australians over 65. Last year was a very bad year for the strain of flu called AH3N2. So flu viruses are divided into type A's and then type B's.
Mm-hmm.
And within the A's, we have AH1N1, which is actually still the original strain from the pandemic back in 2009. Then we have the AH3N2. And then we also have B lineages. And there are two different B lineages and they can vary from year to year. Last year we had what we call a triple whammy. We had quite a lot of B, particularly that hits the younger age groups. We had some AH1N1, but we had a lot of AH3N2.
Mm.
And it ended up being about half of what we saw last year and more than two-thirds of the cases in those over 65 were from AH3N2. That's certainly consistent with the average from the last 5 years. But one of the reasons that this strain, and we don't fully understand why, but this strain tends to hit older people very hard. It tends to be associated with more severe flu in older people. We don't exactly know why. And it is the strain against which the vaccines that we use have typically not performed that well.
Explain to me a little bit about why older people are more susceptible to flu. What is immunosenescence, for example?
So we know that older people in general tend to respond a little bit less well to vaccines. As we age, our immune responses, particularly our cellular immune responses, decline, and sometimes the amount of antibody that we generate to vaccines is also not as great. Now, that's not to say we shouldn't immunise older people.
Mm-hmm.
But we just sometimes don't get as much bang for our buck from vaccines in older people as we do in immunologically robust, middle or young age adults. That's where the term immunosenescence comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And when you put that together with our standard vaccines, which have not generated a really strong immune response typically to this H3N2 strain, you put that together with the fact that that strain tends to hit the elderly, and obviously older people also are quite likely to have other medical conditions that, put them at risk of developing severe flu. We know that flu in the elderly can be very, very nasty. And indeed, one of the features of last year was that of the over 1,000 deaths we saw, more than 90% of those deaths were in people over the age of 65.
Tell us about the two new vaccines and what the differences between them are.
Been in development for some years now.
Mm-hmm.
And just to maybe step back a moment, I'll tell you what we were using last year, because
mm-hmm.
I think that's important as a basis. Last year in Australia, across the board, we were using standard dose quadrivalent influenza vaccines. They're all inactivated vaccines. We don't have any live vaccines in Australia. And those quadrivalent vaccines have two A strains and two B strains. And for each strain, there's 15 micrograms of the antigenic part of the vaccine strain of flu is called the hemagglutinin. So they're your standard dose vaccines, and they're the ones that we used last year. Mm-hmm. And we found the effectiveness against H3N2 when we just picked that out of the population was really close to zero.
Right.
In this bad year. So what then the government and experts looked at very closely were the two vaccines that had been licensed overseas. One in fact was already licensed here.
Mm-hmm.
And these are vaccines that are designed to induce a stronger immune response. And it's interesting that they actually do that in a different way. So there's now two new vaccines, and we are very interested in them because they're actually designed slightly differently. So the first one is called a high-dose vaccine. It's actually called Fluzone High-Dose. And as you can imagine, it's based on an increased amount of that hemagglutinin. So instead of 15 micrograms for each of the strains included, it's got 60 micrograms, so
wow,
four times the amount for each of the strains included. So that's the high-dose vaccine. And then the second vaccine, which is produced by a different company, is called Fluad.
Right.
And if you think about that, that's actually ad stands for something is added, and what is added is what we call an adjuvant. Adjuvant is a substance that is particularly included in the vaccine to recruit an immune response that is stronger and hopefully more long-lasting than just the antigen on its own. And our most commonly used long-term adjuvant that we've had in many vaccines is aluminium. But the adjuvant in this vaccine, Fluad, is a squalene-based oil and water emulsion called MF59. So it's still got the same amount of micrograms of hemagglutinin, still 15, but it's got this adjuvant.
So to summarise, one of the vaccines has a higher dose and the other one is designed to make the patient react more effectively against it.
Exactly. Yeah. To turn on and recruit the immune system to produce a stronger response.
Okay.
Now, the important thing to say about these new vaccines is that they don't include the second B strain
mm-hmm.
that has been added into the quadrivalent standard dose vaccines the last few years. So they're called trivalent influenza vaccines. So they have the two A strains, the H1N1 and the H3N2, and then there's a choice of the B strain that is picked. So that's been something people are interested in. For these vaccines in older Australians, it's unlikely to be a downside, but we don't yet have quadrivalent formulations done this way for these two particular brands.
But presumably the one that's left out is the one that is not the most likely to hit the older Australians anyway.
Yeah, and it's important to understand that influenza B disease is less common in older people, and there is some cross-protection from the single B strain, or B lineage it's actually called, with the other B lineage if indeed it does turn up and circulate in the community. There's usually some cross-protection.
I'm chatting today with Professor Christine McCartney, who is Director of the National Centre for Immunisation Research and Surveillance. Christine has co-authored an article on the enhanced flu vaccines, which is published online at the MJA's website, mja.com.au. What does the evidence about these two enhanced vaccines say in terms of the added protection they might give to older people?
Look, overall, we're predicting that they will improve protection in older people in most flu seasons. And we think this is of the order of about a quarter more protection, or kind of a 25% leg up from what the current or last year's vaccines in older people give us. Now, of course, this we know from the evidence is likely to vary from season to season, depending on what strains are circulating. And indeed, we know that each vaccine as well each year is reformulated. So there's a lot of always variation in flu seasons, but the data for both vaccines gives us pretty good confidence that we'll see improvements across the board in older people with respect certainly to H3N2 disease, if it's a strong year again for that strain of the virus. And across the board, you know, about a 25% or even up to sometimes 30, 40%, depending on whether we're thinking about things like pneumonia or other outcomes for older people with, in terms of prevention.
Given these have either a higher dose or provoke a stronger reaction, what about side effects? Are they going to be bigger as well?
They are slightly more reactogenic. So by that, we've seen data for the high-dose vaccine that suggests there'll be slightly more local reactions. And I think we're seeing a little bit of that come through in some of our surveillance data.
Okay.
Nothing serious, but about 30%, you know, 3 out of 10 people getting an injection site reaction as compared with, say, 20% for the standard dose vaccines. And similarly, in data from the clinical trial, some people reported they had some systemic reactions more commonly, so a little bit more likely to have myalgia, muscle aches, or headache.
Okay.
But again, not high proportions, but say of the order of 6% compared with 2%.
Okay.
And for the adjuvanted vaccine, those figures were interestingly fairly similar. So both vaccines, just a little bit more side effects, but nothing that we're expecting on the serious nature. Look, it's really important, Kate, to emphasise that we do have very active monitoring for safety, too, for vaccines now. We have a system called OzVac Safety, which uses patients who rock up for vaccination at about 250 different sites across Australia, and they respond by text message 3 days after being vaccinated to how they went with the vaccine. And so we've got more than 150,000 people who've responded already, and we're seeing a very good safety profile across all age groups, including people over 65 who've received who've received either one of these enhanced vaccines. So we are tracking this very closely, and what's great is that we'll be able to actually compare the safety profile of the Fluad and the Fluzone high-dose vaccines head-to-head in, you know, near real time. And we're not seeing any striking differences there, but it's good because no other country has used these two vaccines together in the same season, in the same population.
Right.
We're a first at that here in Australia.
So are the vaccines out there already? Have GPs got them?
They have, and we've certainly seen high demand for flu vaccines this year. We are, as you know, there's also been a number of programs funded for children under 5 years of age, and there's been high demand across the whole of the age spectrum for flu vaccines. And importantly, now early July, we haven't yet seen a tick up in influenza activity to a high degree, but it doesn't typically happen until late July, August, September, sometimes even that we'll see flu. We're hoping this will work and it will be a quiet year.
Hopefully so. So we don't really know what strains are floating around this year.
It's a bit too early to be confident in the predictions, and sometimes you'll see a few strains emerge early in the year, a preponderance of one strain, and that'll change through the course of the year. So it's still early days for that. I think it is important to emphasise that these vaccines are still not going to be perfect, even though they are more immunogenic. We know the standard dose vaccines, their effectiveness is around 40 to 50%. So if you look across a whole population and they're vaccinated, you know, they're going to reduce the chances of that population having flu by about half. They're going to cut the rate of flu by about half. Now, when we then say that these new vaccines in people over 65 are about 25% better than that, it's not adding 25% to the 50%. It's not even multiplying by 1.25. The way the clinical trials were done is that they reported the outcome measure as relative efficacy. And so you have to do a back calculation looking at 1 minus the odds ratio. And that means that at best, if we say had a standard vaccine that was about 50% effective, we'd be seeing that the more immunogenic vaccines are going to be about 62, 63% effective. So it's really important that everybody still adopts all those other important steps to reduce the spread of flu in the community. So washing hands, being careful with hygiene, staying away from others when you're sick, particularly older people and people who are unwell and very young babies, not going to work. All of those things are still very, cough etiquette, very important to reduce the spread of flu on top of, having as many people vaccinated as we can. The only thing I wanted to say with respect to gaps in the evidence is the importance of being able to study these vaccines in a lot of detail over multiple seasons. So one of the vaccines does have quite a bit of clinical trial data behind it, two quite large efficacy studies. And the other vaccine doesn't have any efficacy studies but has immunogenicity data and data.
Yep.
So it just emphasises, I think, the importance of having really good systems in place to be able to calculate vaccine effectiveness. And we do have that both with respect to presentations to GPs and presentations to hospitals. So I think depending on the amount of activity, we should be able to study the vaccines quite well and indeed then look in coming years to see how protection varies in different seasons.
Is there a silver bullet out there waiting to be found for influenza?
People are working very hard on that, Kate,
yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's close. It's still a long way off. And one of the things that scientists are looking at is whether there are very conserved areas of the flu virus proteins that can be used for would be called a universal flu vaccine. You wouldn't need a different one for all of the slight variations in strains, and you wouldn't necessarily have to have it, you know, varied from year to year. But it's still quite elusive, despite a lot of work, and let's hope that we can continue to invest in research to do that, because it would be great to have something even more powerful to protect against this nasty disease. Thanks again, Kate.
Thank you. My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.